At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
All right, Masters Week is underway. Brian is already tilting, losing 7% of his Will Zalatoris shares. We also have some drama brewing over with our friends at Run Pure Sports. We'll break that down. Is the Fed launching their own digital coin? We got a little news on that all today on Lulz. Did I play the wrong intro?
No, that was right. Wait, that was the old one.
Yeah, I played the old. I normally use that as the outro. I didn't play our actual intro music. I don't know if I have the heart to redo that. So maybe we'll close with the typical intro as the outro.
Okay, why not? We'll switch it up a little bit.
Brian, how many hours did you put in your 80 hours for building Masters lineups?
I put in a solid 2-3.
Okay, that's good. Yeah. That's good. Were you what I heard chatter early in the week about weather issues. Did that end up coming into factoring into your process?
I didn't force anything extra other than what the projections already have in them. But it's last week, I don't know if you paid attention, there was weather issues. I think it was last week. There was weather issues as well. And there was like a fog delay for like an hour or two, which just completely then throws all your adjustments out of whack because then like they're not going off at their designated times and everything.
Right.
So it's like the next wave actually gets the benefit if there is one. And that happens, right. That happens more than just last week. It happens occasionally. So it's tough to really decide. And it seemed like this one was more like days are going to get rained out, entire days possibly. And weekend days, which don't really matter if for the 4-day slate. But it seemed like there was like maybe a slight edge for, I think, like Thursday afternoon field. But yeah, Willie Z, we know that's what he was talking about.
Yeah, I know. Rest in peace to all the Willie Z backers. I made a handful of Millie lineups on DraftKings. I do believe I have him in a couple of those. So I am down bad with the rest of you. Brian, do you? I don't know if it's just if this is just anecdotal, but just, you know, surveying my Twitter feed, seeing some of the view counts. I saw my friend over DFS Degenerate 75. He had one of the highest view counts on his Masters preview show. Rick Rungood said he hit an all-time view count on his Masters preview show on his channel. It does seem like golf and like golf betting and DFS interest is at an all-time high. Does that kind of track for you as well?
Sure. All-time high, maybe, but it's definitely popular.
Yeah.
Good thing too.
Yeah. I mean, are the contests on DraftKings, are there more contests? Are they bigger? Do you notice that? Or is it the same as previous years?
It seems about the same, I would guess, as last year, maybe a little bit, a few extra ones.
Yeah.
Nothing insane.
What did you end up playing for Masters action?
I entered most of the stuff. I entered three into the 2200 millimaker, and then I did 50 into the $100 one.
Okay.
I was thinking about maxing it, and then I forgot. And then I was like going to come back and just max it, but then the prize pools are still ridiculous. So it's a huge bankroll strain to go for almost winner take all format in these.
Yeah.
But then I maxed the $15 whatever the other one was, and entered a bunch of other stuff and some single entries. And I was going to do cash game, but I ended up not putting in the time. And then I also did FanDuel and Yahoo.
I would have assumed cash game would have been a very quick lift. I thought that would be the easiest part.
Yeah, I didn't enter it. I was going to go back and enter all the ones, and then I just did my GPP and then forgot. With the injury stuff, because I don't want them to pull an MMA and start doing late swap in golf, and you got to like pay attention all day as guys tee off.
Right.
I still kind of like just they have designated backups for these situations. And even though you don't get Will Zalatoris quality, whoever's going in for him, I don't know if they do that in the Masters actually, but normally on normal slates where they have it, just you get that guy, even though he's only like a 6,500 level talent. I think that's fair for an adjustment, but I definitely don't want a late swap MMA debacle in PGA. Although it does suck. I really blame like the reporting, and you know, this should make everyone LIV fans, because LIV like will at least like put pressure on them to make their customers happy, you know. And I'm sure everyone wants to know who's going to be playing. Like, I'm sure somebody knew that Will Zalatoris was like, oh man, I might not play tomorrow, man. If this doesn't feel good tomorrow. But they don't, like, you know, these reporters get so in bed and bro out with the athletes that they don't give us any good juice, because they don't want to burn any bridges.
Do you know what you sound like, Brian? You kind of sound like one of the vocal minorities of the casual MMA phone shitter DFS bros who had their guy scratched and who are now really pissed off and shaking their fist at DraftKings and telling them to change the rules because their headliner got scratched. That's what you sound like to me right now.
No, I do not. I'm shaking my fist at the reporters.
Yeah.
DraftKings, don't change anything. That's fine. Don't change anything. But if they did do a change, just do the minor one. Just pop in whoever the replacement is. That's who you get now.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, that's, you know, with the underdog daily contest too, for like the nightly stuff, like that's one of the huge strategies, is like taking risks on the guys with Q tags or, you know, who might not play. And if they do play, well, you're getting probably like a second round value with your last pick. And if they don't, then you can set your ranks and have the next best available player who wasn't drafted immediately put in your lineup. So there's almost like no risk to taking on, you know, some of those guys with Q tags, which would be like a fun way to port that over to DFS too.
The Kevin Na withdrew as well, but he teed off. He was just bogeying and stuff, and he does this all the time. Kevin Na, I rarely do this, but I think there's enough evidence to just X his ass out. Like,
because
he'll play. So like, even if they did change the rules where you get their replacement, you don't even get that bonus with Kevin Na, because he'll go out there, play three holes, and he's like, I'm playing like shit. I'm done. Even at the Masters, which is crazy.
I love golf, Brian, because golf, Brian, is the one sport where you have some nice domain expertise. You get your hand in the dirt. You do a little, I know better. I don't care what the numbers say. I'm exiting him out of my player pool because golf turns you into a human, Brian. That's what I'm learning.
I have that at MMA too, actually, more and more increasingly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like who's fighting last week? There was no fight, but a fight before, I was like, I got to bump this guy up.
Look at that. I love it, Brian. You know, everyone just says you just press, you know, automate on your Sims. It spits it out, but you're in there tweaking a little bit, like us hand builders.
I'm at that stage of fandom where I'm too dumb to know that I'm an idiot, you know, like I'm too dumb to know I don't know enough, like yeah. where I watch so much football and baseball and basketball for 35 years or whatever, that eventually I'm like, oh, this, none of this matters. And this is all bullshit. Yeah. And I've been listening to this sports radio and being a fan for all these insane reasons that make no sense. Let me just run the numbers and whatever it says, I'll do it. But I mean, honestly though, I do like, there are some times where it's like clear a guy won't be playing. And
yeah.
So you got to manually change the projections to be like, nah, I know he's only questionable, but we know Jokic isn't playing tonight.
Yeah.
Shit like that. Whatever. Like there, like when Kobe's like 80-point game was another one. Like it was like his last game. Everyone knew he was going to shoot like 60 right. times.
Yeah.
Right. But the projection still had him for, you know, whatever, 30 fantasy points or something.
It's yeah.
Like, bump that up.
I like it, Brian. I think this is going to be good for your image. You know, Brian's a man of the people. He's going in there and IKBing these projections just like the rest of us. I love it. This is actually a good question from Nick. We haven't gotten an update on your DraftKings Onyx watch. Is it a good luck charm? Are you building winners? Is it in cold storage?
Haven't worn it, but just its presence hasn't been too good. Maybe I got to get rid of it. I haven't been winning.
Like and subscribe. One of you will be winning Brian's watch. If we reach 20,000 audio downloads on Lulz, Brian will give it away.
Yeah, those giveaways are slowing down ever since my accountant said I can't write them off.
Oh, really? He
yeah, I tried to write off those NFTs we gave away last year or whatever. And he's like, no, you can't do it. I'm like, what the fuck?
Wow. I thought you were going to say, it was like, we were talking on the club show, like NFT NYC's coming up and how in the bull market, all of the projects had open bars for their parties. So, you know, come on by, drink whatever you want. And now it's like cash bar. Yeah. You know, no bringing in any plus ones. It's like, everyone's having to tighten up a little bit.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I think that's going to happen eventually with DraftKings too. Because like, yeah. they put us in the sports book bucket right now. And like the Oxen Tier guys, like,
yeah,
it looks like 60% of those guys are sports bettors. I don't recognize their names.
Really?
I don't know. Maybe I'm making that number. Well, I'm definitely making that number up, but maybe I'm wrong. So I think we're getting some perks we might not get 2 years
there
from now.
There you go.
Like, hey, these DFS bros, they don't need this stuff. They're going to play anyways.
I still like, I'll continue to put this out there. I know a lot of pro DFS players, high stakes DFS players watch this show. If you cashed in one of the non-chalk prizes, specifically that DraftKings motorbike, perhaps a truffle hunting expedition in Italy, please hit us up. I would love to hear about the rationale and the story behind your purchase. Like someone didn't do this as a content play, Brian, for the bid equity. I mean, all of you guys are just such EV grinders that you had to get the watch and the golf clubs and just move on with your life.
That's what I was doing. What am I going to do with a motorcycle? And the trip's just not happening.
Brian, I'm telling you, just like swapping out that acoustic guitar for the motorcycle in your background at your lake house would just be absolutely incredible as a background.
Wheel up on the bed.
Yeah. It's no, your bike sleeps in the bed and you sleep on the floor. Is I think the implication there.
I tuck it in
and then every night. Oh my God, Brian. I mean, DraftKings like literally should, what they should do, DraftKings, here you go. Here's a marketing play for you. Just send Brian the bike for free. Send out, I'm sure Brian will love this too, by the way, send out a photography crew and just photograph Brian all around Chicago, the lake house, around town, driving around in his new DraftKings bike. Think of those photos on Twitter. You get a new profile picture, Brian. I think it sounds like a win all around.
You know what I want? A submarine.
That's what the Onyx reward you
want? Yeah, next year, Onyx reward, tier three. Got to spend all three on the submarine.
Would you just dock it out there by your little
fishing boat? Yeah, put it on the dock. And I don't know how, like, this lakes aren't really made for submarines, but I'll make it work.
Yeah, how deep is your lake, would you say? What's our
I think the deepest is like 30 feet, 35 feet, something like that. That's enough for a submarine.
All right, there you go. Brian trolling around the Lake Four in his DraftKings branded submarine. That's what you need to convince people. Just think of all the brand exposure you're going to get with the fucking catfish at the bottom of my lake.
You know, I saw last year a dude on a jetpack.
Really? Those
water jetpacks, yeah. Jetpacking around the lake.
Yes. All right, let's talk about, we've had some drama heating up in the Run Pure Sports streets. Let's maybe just start at the top. I opened a few tabs here from Twitter to kind of set the table, Brian, and we kind of walk through it and lead people to where we are now. But the first big thing that happened the other day was, or maybe a few weeks ago, right? We heard that Hoop was leaving Run Pure Sports. We didn't really get the details of what was going on. Then the other day for Masters Week, he came back and said, I'm back, but then had to clarify, I'm just back to Twitter. I will have more information on the Run Pure Sports situation soon. So let's just start here, Brian. What was your initial reaction when you heard Hoop, one of the pillars of the Run Pure community, was leaving?
I didn't really have a strong take, but like I figured he doesn't want to do it anymore or whatever. It's a lot of work running a company, and maybe he was just done. He won in the Millie too. Maybe he's just like, I'm going to do something else now. I mean, I didn't really have a strong take either way though.
That was my thought too. I was just like, doing like daily DFS content is a grind, especially with as many sports as they do. I know Hoop is a family man. You get the double family in the header and in the Abbey. So it like wouldn't be crazy if you're like, yeah, I'm going to step back from making content. So that was my first thought. And then we started to get some news that maybe some other stuff was going on behind the scenes. And then we got this, and I almost called it a State of the Union, but it is a State of the Giblets post from Big C. Big T here. And there's lots to unpack with this. And first of all, I just want to start with, this is such a great engagement farming marketing play to do a post about the Hoop drama, which is what everyone wants to read about. But then to shoehorn in the Run Pure Sports promotional image card, 44% off first payment. People forget I have a golf Billy waiter. I mean, this is just such a great Trojan horse marketing technique here. I got to give him credit because he knew this tweet was going to do good engagement. You might as well get that marketing juice while you're going.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Never let a good crisis go to waste.
This is like, this post is like theoretically about like a decades long friendship and working relationship between Big T and Hoop, and the dude's out here selling 44% off the subs.
And if you read it too, there's like nothing. He doesn't really say anything in there. Just like, we're crushing it. We're gonna continue to crush it. Big T's really been towing the corporate line the last like year and a half, 2 years, not going too far into the beefs, not saying anything crazy.
Well, and that was the irony too, is when Hoop had taken some shots at me on the Run Pure thing, that's when Big T gets really quiet because he wants to play it from both sides and wouldn't chime in on the stuff, and then wanted to be like, oh no, I didn't say anything, because he was too scared to fire shots on his own. Did you attempt to read, I guess you could call this a blog? I would call it more like it's almost like it was dictated via Siri and then just splashed on the screen. What was your takeaways from this?
You gotta use Chat GPT now, Big T. Come on, man. You gotta write your own stuff. I thought there was nothing in there. I kept going like, okay, when's the juicy stuff? Scroll, scroll, scroll. No juicy tidbits. And then I guess like, honestly, the whole thing, I thought Tambo left too. I don't know if you got that deep into this, but
yeah.
I thought that was just like Tambo was just like a contributor or something, you know, the, like guys leave sites all the time.
Right.
Like it barely needs to be addressed, but like maybe he got pissed too.
Yeah. And Tambo's like been on an absolute heater too, from what I've seen with his DFS play, and Tambo's now going, I believe, is he doing some stuff on his own and going to do more stuff with Mayo? Pat Mayo golf stuff, I believe.
I think his tweet said he's just going to continue to do Mayo and the Fantasy Golf Degenerates podcast or whatever the other one is.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is funny. He does a lot. Those are two good shows.
And then they are bringing on Drew Matthews, who has been a Lowell's guest before. Now he's coming in to backfill Tambo as their golf thought leader, I believe, is kind of how that's working.
I like this new just side note aspect of whatever this economy is, you know, where people, they're entrepreneurs in the social media content space or whatever. So like Drew has his own site. So normally, historically, like you don't want to join forces with another competitor, right? Mm-hmm. But and I like this environment of it's good for Drew and it's good for them because now they have a legitimate golf guy to do their content, fill in for people who left and pump his site a little bit too. So he gains, but they both win. So it's like a win-win.
And that's that, like, not to distract us too much, but, and this used to be an old school dynamic on Twitch, especially like the only way to grow on Twitch was to do collabs with the other big streamers. There was like no organic growth. YouTube is kind of getting like that to the beginning. Like even as just like a random example, we had on Ship Chasing the other night, Ron Stewart, who's a young kid that has a good YouTube channel and has like 25,000 subs. And we had him on Ship Chasing. We gained a ton of subs just from Ron coming over in doing our show. He promoted it with his guys and people were excited to come and check out another channel. So like the collab idea too, where it's like you build up these like, oh, I'm rivals with these guys. Or if someone subscribes to our site, that means they're not subscribing to ours. Like
right.
The YouTube algorithms and the social algorithms think about that stuff completely different. They love the collabs.
Yeah. You don't lose anything. You don't, no. you really don't. I mean, DFS a little different because you might get someone who just wants PGA or something, then they sign up for Drew's site after he leaves Fantasy Golf Bag and then doesn't re-up with RPA. It's possible, but definitely in the way you described it with YouTube, Travis wants us to check our DMs. I don't know if you saw
I got it. We'll okay. get there.
All right. Can we just continue on the side note just for a second? We'll talk about who I promise. But, I just heard this interesting analogy. I wanted to get your take on it because it reminded me of you talking about TikTok since we're talking about social media and how you think they have like a 600 or plus batting average for giving you what you want in the algorithm. Yep. And this idea I heard on the No Agenda podcast about like Western media versus Eastern media and kind of this, if it bleeds, it leads. Western media, Skip Bayless and Stephen A. Smith confrontational algorithm of Twitter and YouTube of people giving you content you hate, like kind of like, you know, I don't know if I'm explaining the idea.
I know what
well.
You're saying. Yeah.
And Twitter and TikTok is kind of the opposite of just gives you what you want. And I think the whole banning thing is more related to stock prices. And Google and Facebook, et cetera, have ins and lobbyists, and they've been working there for decades with these relationships, and they just want to get rid of one of their competitors or at least hurt them. I think that's a big chunk of it. But another one is this idea is like, oh, maybe it's like this new Eastern like marketing algorithm style that they don't want to deal with or don't want to compete with.
Yeah,
I don't know. I just thought that was an interesting idea. It made me like, oh shit, maybe pink. Cause I've never been on TikTok like for more than 2 seconds. So
you would love it, Brian. The algorithm would quickly realize how much you love naked yoga content. I mean, you see on there a day and it starts serving you up that good old naked yoga for sure.
All right. I'm downloading it. That's this hard sell right there.
I just caught this line as I was glancing. I didn't get this before. I would bet on Drew having his best year ever in 2023 as he dives into this community and sees just how great it is. Do you think there is a correlation to becoming a better DFS player by diving into a community and seeing how great it is?
Yeah, I think if you sign with RunPure, you'd probably win minimum $3 million this year.
Well, I mean, Brian, I hang out with you and I hang out in the Lulz Discord and I feel like I've gotten worse as a DFS player.
Well, that's our selling. If you join us, you're going to lose money.
Do you know my other kind of theory, because we're all trying to read between the lines of this post, and I'm wondering, do you think they pushed Hoop out so they could afford a copy editor for Big T's posts? That's kind of now my new working theory.
Wait, are you saying there's no copying editing here? Or
I don't think they have a copy editor, but maybe now that they have the salary for a copy editor. So there was this post, and you know, like you said, there's not a lot said here as far as like revealing what actually went behind the scenes. Most of the stuff that's come out is that there was differences in opinion about the future of the company, which is about as ambiguous as you can get from a leadership perspective. But things really heated up yesterday afternoon when, I believe this is Hoop's wife, she has the same profile picture as him, Jennifer wrote, "Did you forget to add the part where you hired your friend of 20 plus years as the new CEO to ultimately push Mike out, also blocking him from his own website and not allowing him to do any content for the members?" So this is when we first got our actual look behind the scenes here.
This is when we started DMing each other, like, maybe this might be more interesting than we thought. Maybe we should we, like, cause I think we're like, should we, message any of these guys? And they're like, nah, you know, at first let's not bother. But yeah. Criticism of her criticism. It is really hard doing like even the smallest of businesses like mine, or trying to be on your own like you are, Pete, and hiring someone, you know, just like that you really can trust is like super beneficial, especially if they have some like skills. So like, I don't think that's it. We're not talking about like a public sector government thing where somebody hires their buddy for a contract, right? This is your own private business and it could be beneficial, but I kind of get what she's saying. There is maybe this guy's an idiot and doesn't know anything. The only reason you hired him because he's your drinking buddy or something. Maybe she's like, so like, which that's lame to do to your so-called pal Hoop.
Right. I mean, what I got from how she worded this was that because it was your friend and the power struggle of just being like, hey, you need to leave, you're not doing where the rest of us want this company to go, that you hired someone else to do that firing or ousting for you, where it was like, oh, you can kind of hide behind this shield. And I don't even know who this guy is that they hired that's friends with him. And I don't even know, like, one of the things Big T reveals in that blog is that they had like no corporate structure, like the rules were very hardly defined. Who knows how even their like equity is divvied up there and how that's all going to work. But it did seem like this was a power struggle here for the future of the company, and that this new CEO, it's basically like Succession, if Succession was at a boutique DFS site.
I still haven't watched that, but I I think I catch the gist of it. You're blocking, and here's another corporate move here. Like the firing someone and they directly have to leave the building type of thing. And the reason you do that is because you don't want them to go back to their computer and cause problems. Yep. Right. They like, everyone knows what I'm talking about, I'm assuming. And it's like, what do you think Hoop's going to go log into his account and just like shit talk? So like, either Big T or the guy, his buddy he hired, or somebody's super corporate over there to pull that maneuver on. If this is all true, who knows?
And to your point, like when it happens in like a private corporate setting and it's like, oh, if you were going to self-sabotage from within with internal company records or internal email lists, but the way things play out in the content game is like Hoop's platform, like, okay, so what, he can't go in like the Discord or log into the like CMS on their WordPress and write like run pure fuck me. Like he can also just go to his Twitter and like write that as well. And everyone's going to see it there. Like Hoop has already started tweeting. He did a Spaces the other day. He can spin up his own platform very quickly to get his side of the story out, which makes it a little silly if this is true that they did like a full sale, like, had the security guard escort him to the e-doors or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, to give them like credit, I would assume it would be more like he could download their database and then start his own site. He could, you know what I mean? Cause he'd have all the contact info. He could just steal maybe he had full access and he could just copy paste the whole site. And then he's like, well, now I got runpuresports.com. Right. And, it was really mine, dude. Anyways. So there's nothing you can't sue me, bro. Cause I put in all the time for all this shit too. So that it was probably something like that. I don't know if credit's the right word, but.
What do you think about the dynamic of, and I don't think as far as like having like here, okay, this is my question. Do you think Jennifer Hoop's wife said to Hoop, like, dude, this blog post like pisses me off, I'm going to blast off. And Hoop was like, whatever, go for it. Do you think she went rogue, was so pissed off, and then Hoop was like, babe, how do you think that went down? Cause I've always fascinated, cause you see this dynamic with athletes, right? And their wives and girlfriends kind of chiming in to defend them or speak on the thing. And I always wonder, like, are they going rogue, or is this like a united front where this messaging was agreed upon to come from her, but not him?
That's a good question. I don't know. Who knows? Maybe if he ever comes on, we can ask him that one. I do like it though. I like, from the outside anyways, I understand like, you know, like exes do stuff like that for me sometimes. And it pissed me off. It's like, don't just stay the fuck out of it. You know what I mean? But like, I do kind of like it from the outside. Like, you know, she's got her guy's back. She's like, no, fuck you.
So when all of this was happening, Brian and I were messaging and we're like, look, people are going to want us to talk about this on the show. We can come on here and we can speculate and go through the stuff that happened, or we can just ask Hoop if he wants to come on the show and talk about this. So Brian put out a tweet, hey, Hoop, care to come on Lulz tomorrow? This was obviously yesterday, and give your side of the state of the Giblets. And Hoop almost snap replied with a little gif here saying maybe. And I was like, holy cow. Maybe Hoop would come on and give his side of the story. We could give him, you know, a platform here to speak his mind. I hopped in, made sure he knew I was serious, told him let's do it. Hoop ended up DMing him, and the TLDR is he is interested in coming on maybe next week. But what he did say is that this is very messy right now and that there are lawyers involved and he needs to find out what he is and isn't able to say, which I completely understand with, I assume there's a lot of money and equity and stuff at stake here. So I understand that he doesn't want to mess that up, but we do hope to get Hoop on and hopefully we can do that in the coming weeks.
And so to recap the state of the Giblets, what I got out of it was just, they had a different of opinion in the direction of the company and that's it. I don't know if you read it any differently, but
I think that's a very, you don't have, I mean, again, from what I know from a distance, I've seen photos of Hoop and Big T on family vacations together. They've worked together for years. I don't think one person saying we should focus on short form content and another person saying we should focus on long form blogs is how you dissolve an entire relationship and partnership of a decade plus or whatever it is. Like, there has to be a little bit more going on underneath this than just saying like, I think we should do podcasts and you think we should do videos. Like there's more to it than this.
Right. But correct me if I'm wrong, but that's basically all that state of the Giblet said is we had a difference of opinion. Run Pure was awesome before. It's going to be awesome in the future.
But from that,
I'm not saying that's right.
Right. But like Big C is never going to come out and be like, we reveal like all the like inner drama of like what's going out. You have to give the people some meat, right? You got to throw the hyenas a little red meat there, and saying that, yeah, you know, we have a difference in opinion, that's what you're going to toss the people, even if it's not fully true.
That is how you should play this though, just a little bit at a time and keep getting 200 300 likes and engagement with your promo code every time, milk it for every penny you can, you know?
next week the title of the post, what I told Hoop on the phone last night, and that it's right. Like, sign up for Rugbear for 69% off.
Why the Wolves is full of shit, you know, something like that.
Yeah. Go ahead.
What you just said though was exactly what I was thinking. It's like, you know, I really think we should do, you know, 47% sports betting content. He's like, no, I want to do 32% sports betting content. We bridge this gap. I just have to leave.
Like, yeah.
It doesn't, are you sure we should release 5 podcasts today, or should we only bump that down to 3? You know?
Right. That's not what results in people getting mad at each other. And then like the next day you get back to work. That doesn't dissolve a partnership.
Even if it was like super dramatic within the realm of like reasonable, you know what I mean? Like, not, like if Hoop wanted to do all yoga, you know, all naked yoga site, you know, I could understand Big T's like, we can't go in that direction. Okay. I don't think that's going
to
work.
That's when we're going to see the Brian Hooper joins RPS when they go to naked yoga. That's how they get you.
Hear me out, guys. Day one, hear me out. Naked yoga. No. But like, if you like, you know, I can't even think of something of a direction they would go in that's reasonable that he would be like, this is crazy. I am so at odds with you on this, Big T, that I am leaving the company.
It does go back to your point, though, too, of, again, taking it more macro about how hard it is to grow and scale a business. And, you know, the more subs you get and the more revenue, then you're hiring more people. You're hiring video editors, contributors, back-end people, accountants, all of this stuff. The pressure gets ratcheted up. All of a sudden, these are content guys at their core. They do video, they do podcasts, they write some short articles, they play DFS. That's what they are. Scaling a business, running that behind the scenes is a whole different beast. And it does not surprise me whatsoever that the stressors come when you add that level of stuff that, you know, even Hoop admits in the, or Big C admits in the piece that it's not even their expertise. They were out of, you know, out ahead of their skis trying to figure that stuff out. So I can see how that would have been, you know, a stressful dynamic.
Maybe that's it. Maybe just in the guessing territory here now is Big T is like, we can't do this. We're content guys. We don't know what the fuck we're doing. Bring it in my buddy. And Hoop's like, no, dude, I want to give him 20%. And that was it. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, no, we're giving him 20%. No, I don't want to. All right, then you got to go.
Yeah, that could vary. And that's kind of what No Bosox is saying here. Simplest solution is probably that they formalize equity distribution kind of stuff. And they disagreed on that. Ownership versus stakeholder. And it does sound like a new person coming in to run a company who needed to have equity to feel incentivized to run it. That could have been a tip there.
He probably has legitimate experience. And he's like, listen, I'll take a chance going in with this little startup because we're bros, but like I need 25% of the company and $80,000, $100,000 a year or something to start with some whatever, what's it called? Commissions on top or something, depending on how good we do. And Hoop's like, fuck that. We're not making that much money. Oh, what does he do? Count numbers or something. Who knows? You know, or maybe it was the other way around.
All right. I'm pulling up the DM that our friend Petty Theft just sent us. He said, a friend of mine asked ChatGPT about the Big T post, and ChatGPT ranked it. They gave it a grade 76 out of scale 100. So that's a solid C+. Strengths were authenticity, personal anecdotes, and transparency. I don't know. I don't know about the transparency thing. I'd say faux transparency. I do believe maybe the authenticity, personal anecdotes. The weaknesses, organization, the paper lacks a clear structure and organization, which can make it difficult for readers to follow the author's made points and arguments. Grammar and punctuation. There are numerous instances of grammatical errors and punctuation mistakes that detract from the overall readability of the paper, and lack of focus. The paper tends to meander and go off on tangents, making it difficult to ascertain the key takeaways and messages the author wishes to convey. This paper would benefit from more concise and focused writing.
That was my criticism. That and a little more of other than we disagreed on the future.
Yeah. Big D. And then, you know, of course, all of the other ancillary characters in the world of DFS weighing in on this situation. I'd be remiss not to notice our friend RBX88, a millionaire maker winner himself, a man who's been known to miss a lock because he's having an orgy. Said Big T is an ugly loser who can't win. That's why he's pushing people out to benefit his own degeneracy. And then he tags someone, Snyder, can you show this Big T after he pushes your shit in later tonight? Thanks, kid. I mean, just RBX, just great stuff from RBX88 as usual.
Why throw in ugly?
I don't like RBX88. RBX's Twitter account is pretty hilarious because it's just like him trolling like touts all day on Twitter. Oh, and replying to Joe Biden's Twitter.
Yeah.
Progress, LOL. Saying he's oppo trading the new Run Pure Sports betting analyst, took the opposite. I got 110 points.
I mean, this poor girl. So that we I talked about this with Manic earlier. They got a new girl on their sports betting product, it looks like.
Yeah.
Because they had that other girl who like got hired with like MLB.com or something.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, that's cool. This is, my source on that is a person called Davis Maddox. So I do not know if that's true.
Were you talking about Davis? About
it, I wish would I didn't like, say it at all.
Was this conversation with Davis on the record or off the record?
No, we stopped recording and then.
Okay, I was gonna say this doesn't sound like fodder for in between like Star Wars.
This was after Star Wars talk.
I think we did a pretty good accurate summary of what's out there, at least in the public, as far as what people know. Obviously, we all have our own guesses at what's going on. But genuinely, I know Hoop took a shot at me on a Run Pure podcast a while back, but I'm happy to reach across the aisle if he wants to come on and talk about what's going on there behind the scenes. You know, I would love for him to be able to speak candidly about what was going on.
Yeah, hopefully. Who knows how long that the legal stuff could go, though.
Yeah.
You gotta wrap that shit up fast, man. You don't want to pay these lawyers, man. Just wrap it up.
That's the kind of other thing, right? Yeah, that, yeah. I mean, talk about hemorrhaging money, paying the lawyers for all this stuff.
Do not do, if you can avoid it, just avoid it.
Okay, so then what you're saying, Brian, how about this? What is our fee? We'll bring on Hoop and the Run Pure business makers, and we will mediate a solution.
Arbitrate.
I mean, we will arbitrate it. What do you think a good fee would be? I mean, I'll do 20% of what the lawyers are charging.
I want 20% of Run Pure.
Okay, you want an equity stake? This is actually a good thing. Maybe if Hoop can't come on, maybe Jennifer can come on.
She's welcome too.
She is welcome. We don't, I think that'd be a great idea. So yeah, we're open to it. Happy, if anyone else has any other leads or information, feel free to slide in our DMs.
Here's my prediction. We'll do predictions. If we ever get anyone on, which is a chance we definitely won't. Big T's argument's what I said earlier, that he wanted someone to come in because they didn't know what they were doing. Mm-hmm. And it was an argument over revenue share, and Hoop will have something similar, but something else to add that we don't know.
Yeah.
Something else that pushed it over the edge of like, fuck you.
Yeah. I think if you read between the subtext of your friend of 20 plus years, it does seem like there's some that not everyone was on board with that hire and the implication of that hire, I think sounds like a pretty big domino in all of this.
I don't know why it just popped in my head with the Beatles. When they broke up, there was something similar of arguing over who they were going to hire as their manager. And the guy ended up fucking them all.
So. Does that make Jennifer Yoko Ono in this one too?
Or Amber. One of the two.
Yeah, one of them. All right, we'll flesh out this this analogy. Who's Ringo?
Oh, Tambo maybe, because
I was just gonna say Tambo and Ringo. It kind of works.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, and Ringo technically left the band first and then came back. So we'll see. Right. So that has to happen here. Tambo's gonna have to show up and Run Pure one time again.
All right,
on top of the rooftop.
Well, hopefully I did notice Ricky, when you had done your tweet, Ricky had said, let me pull this up here.
Oh, this is right up his alley.
Yeah. He goes, this drama is what Lulz was born for. Let's see it. So, you know, we tried our best, Ricky here. Hopefully we did, the drama, gave it its proper due here. And, hopefully we can get Hoop on in the coming weeks.
Yeah. I mean, if poker has all the drama, we have to do something here. This is as good as it gets right now.
I know. And, you know, like if I had more Doug Polk in me, you know, I'd be making a 15-minute highly produced video breaking all of this down. But I just really can't justify spending 30 hours on a Run Pure Sports breakdown.
How many views would that get?
I mean, probably like 5,000 views. Definitely not worth the effort that would go into making it.
Because Polk's going to get like, what, 100,000 or something on a video he does?
The drama in poker just scales so much bigger, and we're just in a smaller niche. Like the guys he's talking about are playing on, you know, live streams that get, you know, 30,000 concurrent viewers. Everyone knows Berkey. Everyone knows Garrett Adelstein.
Yeah.
I mean, even within the DFS community, I like Run Pure is a smaller niche within a niche community already. So it's just like, hopefully there's a day, Brian, where we can justify devoting more resources to DFS drama because there's actually eyeballs for it, but we are not at that point.
You know what would be fun is the like YouTube documentary style. Have you ever watched any of those? That just like I'll watch ones on like gamers that I know nothing about, video games that don't even play, and they make them interesting.
I love that style. That style of content, like the kind of the mini docs, the highly produced stuff. Even Underdog's they started in an originals channel. They had he's actually a documentary filmmaker who's been working on it. He just did one, like a 15-minute one on the Brett Favre situation and what was going on with him kind of funneling the money for his own purposes. And so, I love that kind of storytelling.
RBX, after waking up from an orgy, called Big T ugly.
Dude, you know, we keep talking about how like if DraftKings really wanted to like foster the DraftKings ecosystem and do more like profiles and stuff on DFS players, yeah. Like I know I told them to come film you with the DraftKings bike, but I'm actually rerouting them. I'm sending them to upstate New York to do a documentary on RBX 88. Like that, I think that's what we need.
I'm if they spent like 50 grand a pop and just did like 10, you know, 5-10 docu-series on DFS to a bunch of different things.
Yeah.
Don't do it themselves though. have somebody else do it. I don't know how much money that would make DraftKings, but it definitely would. You could get some of those viral.
I forget what it was. It was way back when. It was in the lead up to one big tournament. Maybe it was like a tournament of champions, and they did like a 5 to 6 minute like little mini documentary, and they did Bales, they did Condia. There was a couple other players, and they were really interesting. They were super well made. They have like Bales like lifting in his garage and shit and following him around. Like, it is genuinely interesting. Like, why do you think everyone was so fascinated about the Unicow interview or when Chess Is Okay initially comes on here? Like, even if there isn't as much juicy stuff to reveal, people still love getting to know people and being like, oh, that's a slice of their life, or I get to see a peek into their personality. Like, anything like that is always a net good for the ecosystem.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd love to see some of those. I mean, the EM2 Coke binge, 6 months Coke binge.
That would be a good one. Would
have been really good with Rufus and the shit with Rufus and the challenge versus Alex. That would have been a fun one.
For sure. Guessing views. If someone dropped a 15-minute mini documentary on the Chipotle brothers on YouTube, how many views would that get?
A good one? We're just assuming
like really, really well made. Yeah.
1.2 million, I would bet.
That seems high.
I could see it. Maybe I'm misjudging this because I'm watching the ones that get to 1.2 million. Right. So maybe not, but that was my initial, my Laden thinks would have been 1.2.
I think if it was really, really well made and there was actually some revelatory information there, I think you get to 100,000 views would be my guess.
Oh, okay. God, I think you should do better than that. I wouldn't do it for 100,000.
But that's my point of like the interest levels in it. There's some sports betting content out there. There's some people who have like views that are between like 500,000 to a million of like how I use this system to make, you know, $1 million or whatever. And some of those have like really blown up. So maybe if it was like how these two brothers, you know, made 10 plus million lifetime in DFS, like maybe, but even just having the word DFS versus like sports betting, I think narrows down the people who want to like click that. Like there's something about DFS that is just slightly alienating versus general gambling.
Right. And I'm saying like 10 years, like yeah. Not the first 6 months. And like Anthony, like the whole point, he says, do 1.2 million people even play DFS? The whole point was like, I was saying, like I watched five documentaries on video game speed runs.
Right.
I haven't played a video game in years. Not that I'm against it. I used to play them all the time. But, you know what I mean? It's just like this interesting docu-style that a lot of YouTubers do.
And to Brian's point, and even though I do think you're high, but to your point is how can you make a piece of DFS media content that is so compelling that someone who doesn't care about DFS will watch it and be fascinated? That's what Brian is saying.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. And the example is me, like I'm the target audience, person who watches a lot of YouTube. And occasionally I stumble upon these industry documentaries that I've never played or done anything with. And they're usually pretty interesting. Sometimes they stink, but remember that
I was just going to say, I disagree with this. Nobo Sox says that general fantasy sports would probably do better than DFS. I just think when you're trying, ultimately, what's going to pull a lot of people in is how much money you won and showing you were successful on this scale that no one even fathomed you could win. And in traditional season-long fantasy, they're just from the playing side. Like there's a few people who maybe in like the perfect year hit like $1 million in like all these high stakes leagues that they play, but that's very few and far between. Whereas like, would it shock you? And Travis is asking this, like if the Chipotle brothers have netted like 25 million lifetime, would that shock you?
Probably not.
What do you think it is?
I now you put 25 million in my head. The top Chipotle brothers, so then half of that, I guess, 12, 15.
Yeah.
Maybe 20, 25. I don't know. Have you ever seen King of Kong?
No.
Oh, really? You should watch that. It's a video game documentary on guys who play Donkey Kong.
Okay.
The upright game from the 80s. It's a perfect example of what Anthony's missing here is, you know, you don't have to care about Donkey Kong or anything to get an entertaining documentary on some strange people. But yeah, I don't know what it, I'm sure you can Google streaming service. I'm sure it's free still on one of them, but yeah, that's classic.
Well, that's the thing about at the end of the day, a good documentary is just good storytelling, and good storytelling is universal. And think about all the documentaries that you've watched. If you just read the initial subject and you're like, I don't care about fucking cup stacking, but then you watch like 11-year-olds who have like ascended to the top of the cup stacking universe. And you know, the rigor behind the scenes of how they've done it. And you're like, holy shit, this is insane. Like, yeah, I don't give a shit about cup stacking, but I've watched a really good cup stacking documentary before. Like, that's just what a good documentary does.
Yep. Yep. I could see that too with the Rubik's cubes.
I saw that one too. Yeah. There's the really weird one. Did you ever see the one on HBO? And these are kind of like my favorite documentaries. And it's kind of like the Don't Fuck with Cats, where it like starts as one thing and then morphs because they're basically telling the story in real time. And they discover a new, more interesting story than what they actually set out to make the documentary about. But there was one about, like competitive tickling, I believe was the subject. Did you ever hear about that one on HBO?
I have, I think. Yeah. And it gets like, some of the guys, of course, get a little too pervy or something.
I revealed my secret. Christopher says, we know what Pete does when he's not streaming. He's stacking cups in his basement to beat 11-year-olds. I used to be so jealous of those kids because that was kind of in vogue too when I was in elementary school. Kids had started doing that. I'm like, damn, you're good at stacking cups, man. How do I get my mom to get me in the cup stacking game? This would be an epic idea too. RBX on The Bachelor. I mean, can you? He wouldn't last more than a round.
She's ugly.
Oh, God. Would you want, here's this, would you want to see RBX as The Bachelor or a contestant on The Bachelorette?
Oh, God.
I think you got to have him as The Bachelor.
That's the only way it'd be funny. Yeah, he'd get too bitter as.
Yeah.
DFS Bachelor. Have the guys compete. They have to be DFS players or gamblers.
God, no. RBX on Love is Blind. Are you familiar with the premise of that show, Brian?
I'm not.
Okay. So it's kind of like the title suggests, but basically people date in pods where they can't see each other. So you both go into rooms and you can talk and stuff, but you can't see each other. And then like the show forces you to propose to someone to stay on the show. And so people propose and then they do the reveal sight unseen. And so people are seeing each other for the first time. It is very fun because a lot of times they're like, holy shit, you're hotter than I thought. This is great. They're like running and making out. And then sometimes they're like, oh no. Like they can't like make eye contact or they're like shaking hands, even though they just proposed to each other. It's actually a pretty fascinating social experiment.
Oh my God. I'm sure you saw the one, the controversial one that came out a couple of weeks ago or a month ago, the mom and sons one.
Oh, I missed that.
Oh yeah. Some fucking... super weird, like moms and their sons go on an island.
Really?
Yeah.
That just sounds very Freudian and awkward to me.
Gotta get those ratings.
Christopher says in the RBX on a Bachelor thought experiment, he pictures RBX sitting on the couch, setting his lineups, and the girls over just talking away. And he's like, shut it, woman, it's lock time. I do say this for certain. The series would not make it to air. And if it did, RBX88 would be canceled. Absolutely, for sure.
Also, Chris, RBX is known for missing Locke because of the ladies, not the other way around.
Yeah, that's true. He's not that focused. He would be very distracted. Oh, my goodness. What other, I mean, RBX does need to win another Millie Maker to come on the show. What, you know, we want to get Hoop on. Who are some of your other dream guests, you know, maybe in the DFS realm?
We got to get Yuta on. He said he'd do it.
Yeah.
I asked a couple guys, Taylor, I want to get on.
Taylor KB. He said
he'd do it. Taylor KB.
Oh, yeah, that would be fun.
I want Tom to come on too from Osmo.
Mm-hmm.
But he hasn't responded to me. I sent him a message on Twitter. He hasn't responded to me yet. I don't think he wants to do any FaceTime stuff. But
are you, does it sound like Brian's about ready to go on one of his epic guest booking sprees like you did a couple months ago?
Maybe not yet. Soon enough.
There you go.
Soon enough.
Are there any names that you've been seeing popping up atop the leaderboards in any sports that are just relatively anonymous or don't have much of an online footprint that intrigue you?
Oh yeah. There was somebody the other day I saw who's been doing pretty well, but I'm blanking on it. Some guy named Ricky D just won 100K in baseball.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nice for him to finally win at DFS for a while.
Yeah. You know, it's good for the guy. You know, pop one here or there.
Yeah. I mean, we're over here rolling up our sleeves doing investigative journalism to bring the people DFS drama, and he's out here, you know, winning money. And instead, you know, we'll be lucky if my YouTube ad revenue, you know, nets me $12.46 on this right. show. I mean, what are we even doing, Brian?
Right. Yeah, we got offered a advertising gig for $36.
Brian said this to me on our podcast feed. And it was like something, I thought it was where you just dynamically insert it. Like you just press a button and it's there and they sent us 36. I was like, sure, go for it. And then you're like, no, they want us to record the ad that sells for $36. I was like, we're not doing this, Brian.
Yeah. All right. You got to read the fine print on these. Yeah. Cause I was like, oh, if we swap these out for the ones they give us less money, go ahead. Who cares? Like, no, live read. And it's like, okay, fuck you.
No, this is what we need to do, Brian. We need to like reverse engineer like our dream advertiser. What advertiser should want to be getting out in front of people who are watching a stream to hear about DFS site drama? What kind of product? Who would want to be getting out in front of the audience watching this show today?
I guess any site we don't voluntarily talk about. We're giving RunPeer plenty of ad space right now, right?
Yeah. And I do believe they are running a 44% off sale this week, if I recall correctly.
That's right. Use code BIGT44.
Yeah. Actually, maybe that's what we do. Maybe we go to the crowdsource element here.
Show sponsor for the day.
Yeah. How about this? Because maybe I'll just start doing, and I should be able to spell your ChatGPT.
You are ad here.
Oh, no. Oh no, I was making fun of grammar and now I
we gotta proofread that Chat GPT.
Here we go. So yeah, I think maybe just going come on.
Did we ever do that? Or am I making this up? If I go to Chat GPT and ask it how we should do our ad revenue. How should I what do we want? How should we make money on our podcast?
Tell YouTube or tell ChatGPT we have 127 people watching live right now. What is the best way to monetize these eyeballs?
Okay.
You might have to screen share, Brian. Otherwise, it's going to be bad radio. I will, but
type it first.
Yeah.
What is the best way to monetize those people?
This is a good one. Andrew wants to know how much money would it take for Brian to read something with 1-800-GAMBLER on it?
Oh, fuck that.
you got to have a number.
Of course there's a number.
Yeah.
Let me share this.
If national, what's the gambling awareness? If they had you doing a 1 minute ad read about gambling awareness month, problem gambling awareness, Brian, for $5,000, would you do an ad read for that?
No.
Okay. Well, that settles that. I will. FYI. Okay, there are several ways to monetize your audience on YouTube. This is ChatGPT. YouTube's AdSense program, no, that's bogus. That's worth nothing. Sponsorships, if you have a significant audience, I don't know about significant. Merchandising, we do have merch. I do even have those. You can get your Wolves hats, your mugs. The link is down below. You should be able to, I think there, even if you're watching this on YouTube, it says products. If you click that, affiliate marketing, you can promote your products or services. Sign up on Underdog Fantasy, promo code Pete will get you a $100 deposit match. Crowdfunding. You can use crowdfunding platforms like Patreon or Kickstarter to ask your viewers to support. I was hoping for something a little more groundbreaking, Brian.
You know, I almost pulled a Alex Baker, and you can see on the left, those are that's my search history.
Oh, Brian, I actually the other day was on a show and I was too embarrassed for a couple of mine, you know, just like how to do like a simple Excel formula that I was like, I'm not pulling this up to reveal the whole thing.
I was like, I'm like, oh my God, is there, I think, phew, there's nothing bad.
Brian, these are so good. Origins of suckers, grill pork loin filet, caffeine-free Pepsi contains. I mean, I love this.
The origin of suckers, I was thinking the other day, because I say it all the time as a joke, like sucker, you know? I'm like, where's that come from? And it comes from the most that no one knows, but the best one I saw was there was a fish called a sucker that's really easy to catch.
One of mine is Pelicans' highest usage player right now. ChatGPT wasn't able to help me out with that one.
You can see gambling addiction prevalence. I did that one right before our show with Jack.
Oh my goodness. All right. We did it all. Your ad could go here. If you're interested in advertising on Wolves, we are open for business here. As you can see down below, Primo Real Estate, as we talk about drama in the DFS space, and you get to command all of those eyeballs with your product. Brian, anything else going on in your neck of the woods today?
No, sir. We got MMA back this weekend, though.
Ooh, is it a good card?
Should be a good card. Yeah, it's Adesanya versus Pierre again.
Ooh, okay.
That's a good one. Yeah. Let's see if Hooper's playing. He's probably still recovering from his face being brutally beaten.
So many hoops. Brian Hooper, Chase Hooper, Run Pure Hoop. So many hoops.
Kevin Holland, Rob Font, Gilbert Burns. Gilbert Burns minus 475 versus Masvidal.
Okay.
Pretty crazy.
Right. This is a good card. It's a good card. Yeah. Austin Hooper, for sure. All right, guys. Appreciate you. If you guys are on Twitter, go to Brian's tweet from yesterday. Tell Hoop you'd like to really see him on the show. That would probably help a little bit. And we will see you guys next week. As always, Thursday, 1:30 p.m. Eastern. Hop in the Deposit Kingdom Discord, Bricks Discord. Chop it up with us. We appreciate you. Have a great week. And as promised, because I used the outro for the intro, we are going out with the intro. He thinks this is a go. Vegas Dave thinks this is a go.
Hot naked girls doing yoga.
What?
Why don't you just win like a man?
Random.org. Type in one for yes, two for no. Let the DFS gods pick for you.
And I'm absolutely begging you not to dupe us. Please don't dupe us.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Yes. say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.